Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building something bigger than a loop. We're building a drop sequence playbook for heavyweight sub impact in Ableton Live 12, tuned for jungle, old school DNB, and that darker modern edge. And the main idea right away is this. In heavy drum and bass, the drop is usually decided in the first two bars, not by how loud it is, but by how intelligently it arrives. If the sub comes in too early and too constantly, the drums lose their swing. If the bass waits too long or has no tension, the drop feels flat. So our job is to design a repeatable system. Sub, drums, res, FX, and space, all working like a conversation. Think of the drop like a machine with different energy roles. The sub owns weight, the break owns movement, the res owns attitude, the FX own tension and release. If two parts try to do the same job at once, the whole thing gets smaller. That's the mindset. First, decide on the phrase length before you start sound design. For this style, build your drop as either a 4-bar statement or an 8-bar phrase. A strong starting shape is bar 1 and 2 as the main drop statement, then bar 3 and 4 as the answer or a variation. If you're going longer, bars 5 to 8 can expand the idea with extra fills, a register change, or a new drum layer. In Ableton, put locators at the important points, pre-drop, bar 1, bar 3, bar 5, and bar 9. That keeps you oriented fast. If you're sketching in session view, use one scene for the main drop and another for the variation. The reason this matters is simple. The listener needs to feel that the first two bars sell the drop, and the next two bars prove it wasn't a one-off. Now build the sub as its own dedicated instrument. Use operator or wave heatable with something very simple, ideally a sine or near sine tone. Keep it mono-controlled, clean, and focused. Turn on mono or legato if you want notes to glide into each other, and keep the glide subtle. Around 20 to 60 milliseconds if you want movement without sloppiness. The sub line should be rhythmic, not continuous. That's a huge distinction. In jungle and old school inspired DNB, the sub hits hardest when it leaves room for the drums to speak. So write shorter note lengths most of the time, maybe 1/16 to 1/8, with the occasional held note for pressure. Don't be afraid of silence. A short gap before a bass entry can make the next hit feel massive. After the instrument, and saturator with soft clip-on, a little drive, maybe 2 to 5 dB, gives you harmonics that help the sub read on smaller systems without turning it fuzzy. Then finish the chain with utility and set the width to 0% if you want absolute mono discipline. That's especially important in this style, because the low end needs to stay solid under a busy break. Next, make the res or mid-bass as a separate track. Do not pile it on top of the sub in the same lane. The res is there for motion, grit, and tension. Not to fight the foundation. Use wave-eatable or analog with detuned saws or two slightly offset oscillators. Filter it with a low-pass or band-pass shape, add some resonance if you want edge, and keep the low end under control with EQ8 cutting below roughly 90 to 120 Hz. A solid FX chain for the res might be auto-filter, then saturator, then a bit of overdrive or pedal if you want more bark, then EQ8, then utility to tighten the width if it gets too wide. But the important part is not just the chain. It's the rhythm. The res should answer the sub, not constantly double it. Think call and response. Sub hits on the downbeat, res answers on the offbeat, or the bass stabs leave room for a snare ghost or a break fill. Automate the res so it evolves across the phrase. A filter cutoff movement from around 200 Hz up to around 1.2 kHz can create a lot of tension. A little resonance, a subtle LFO, or gentle envelope motion can make the line feel alive without becoming obvious wobble. In old school and jungle inspired DNB, that dark rolling motion is what gives the drop its character. Now lock the breakbeat to the bass. This is where the groove either lives or dies. Don't treat the break like a loop you pasted in and forgot about. Treat it like a performance. Use a classic break or a break inspired pattern and make sure the kick and snare still speak clearly. Add ghost notes, micro edits, and little hat or rim accents in the spaces between bass notes. If you want to get more detailed, slice the break to a new MIDI track and reprogram it. Then keep the main snare strong, usually with that classic 2 and 4 feeling, and use fills and ghost notes to move the energy forward. On the break bus, use drum bus carefully for some drive and punch, maybe 5 to 15% drive, and maybe a touch of crunch if it suits the track. Use EQ8 to clean out the muddy low mids, and a light glue compressor if the peaks need a little control. Only a little, though. You want the break to breathe. One of the biggest pro-level tricks here is that the break and bass should support each other, not compete. If the bass is long and heavy, let the brake fill the upper pocket. If the bass is busy, simplify the brake. That balance is what makes the arrangement feel intentional instead of crowded. Before the drop lands, build a short but decisive pre-drop path. DNB does not always need huge cinematic risers. Often it just needs clear timing and a clean window for the impact. Use 1FX track with a reverse cymbal, a reverse break hit, a noise riser, or a short vocal chop echo. Add reverb to a snare hit, automate it in a send, then cut it hard right before the drop. Use auto filter to sweep a noise burst upward across one bar. And this next part is huge. The drop impact often comes from space, not just loudness. A brief moment of near silence right before the downbeat can make the return feel brutal. So don't be afraid of a tiny gap. Even an 8th note or 16th note pause can completely change the way to the landing. Now shape the first four bars like a call and response playbook. Bar 1 should feel like the statement. Full drop energy, but disciplined. Sub, res, and break all there, but not overcrowded. Bar 2 can answer that phrase with a slightly different rhythm or note choice. Bar 3 can reduce density and let the break speak more. Bar 4 should either reintroduce the res stronger or create a recognizable turnaround so the loop feels alive when it repeats. That bar 4 moment is critical. Give the listener a tell. It can be a snare stop, a bass note change, a short fill, a reverse hit, or a quick octave shift. Something that says we're moving. If every bar is equally intense, the drop loses shape. Contrast is what gives the heavyweight moment its momentum. For the low-end routing, keep it clean and simple. Use separate buses for sub, bass, drums, and FX, then send them into a mix bus or master chain. On the sub bus, keep utility at zero width and use EQ only if absolutely necessary. On the bass bus, cut the unnecessary bottom and keep mono compatibility in check. On the drum bus, use gentle compression only if needed and preserve the transient snap. And do not guess. Check Spectrum or EQ 8 to see where your low end is living. If the kick and bass are fighting, sometimes the better fix is changing note placement, not just reaching for more EQ. In this style, arrangement is often more powerful than processing. Once the main drop works, add switch-ups that increase energy without wrecking the groove. For example, mute the res for half a bar before bringing it back. Change one bass note to a higher octave. Add a delay throw on a single bass stab. Bring in a chopped amen fragment or a little extra hat layer. Small changes can hit hard when the main loop is already strong. Use automation carefully. In this genre, tiny shifts often feel more brutal than giant sweeps. A little filter move, a small distortion spike, or one reverb burst on a snare can be more effective than a giant exaggerated transition. The goal is not to constantly reinvent the track. The goal is to keep the same core identity, while making the listener feel the phrase evolving. At this point, do a ruthless playback test. First, ask if you can feel the sub without it smearing into the kick. Second, ask if the break still has life when the bass is heavy. Third, ask if bar 4 creates enough anticipation to loop or transition. Then test the whole drop in mono using utility on the master. Also check it at lower volume. If it only sounds good loud, it's not finished yet. A really useful advanced move is to resample the bass phrase. Bounce a 4-bar bass line to audio, then chop it, reverse parts of it, warp it, and process it again with echo or saturator. Audio often gives you more character than endless MIDI tweaking, especially if you want that darker, more lived-in jungle feel. Here are a few common traps to avoid. Don't let the sub play too continuously. Don't make the mid-bass too wide in the low end. Don't overlayer the break until the groove disappears. Don't use FX that mask the first downbeat. And don't just EQ your way out of arrangement problems. If the bass feels smeared, try shortening the notes or adding micro-rests before you start adding more processing. If you want a sharper variation, try a ghost drop technique. Strip the first bar down so it's just kick, snare, and a filtered hint of sub, then bring the full bass back on the next bar. That creates a powerful "where did it go?" effect without breaking the groove. Or try a register swap on the answer phrase. Keep the rhythm familiar, but move one part up an octave or swap a root for a fifth. That keeps the identity while refreshing the ear. Another great technique is splitting the bass into attack and body layers. Use a short, distorted mid-hit for the front edge, and a separate sub for the sustained body. Then automate their balance across the 8 bars. That gives you more control over how the drop evolves without losing the foundation. And remember this, the first job of a heavyweight drop is not to be complicated. It's to be clear, clean sub, purposeful rhythm, a break that breathes, a res that answers, effects that create space. Once those roles are locked in, the drop starts to feel bigger without needing to be louder. So your challenge is to think in systems, not loops. Build a full hit state, a stripped state, an answer phrase, and a reset. Be able to swap between them quickly. That's what makes the arrangement feel intentional and gives you at proper underground DNB confidence. If you follow that logic, you're not just making bass hit hard once. You're building a drop sequence that can hold a dance floor, evolve across phrases, and still feel heavy at lower volume. That's the real win.